Well, it is so good to be here today. Well, I am, if you're here for the first time, I'm Joshua, and I'm the senior leader here at Christ Center, and I love being here, and I love y'all, and it's good to be here. Today, we're going to be talking about prayer evangelism, and we've touched on that before here at Christ Center, but you can see this handsome son of God over here next to me. Jen's like, amen. Jen is his wife. But Andy and I, we go back a little ways. And so as I get ready to talk to you about prayer evangelism, I thought it would be fun to bring my friend up here, my brother in the Lord, and interview him a little bit because I had the honor of getting to be a part of his faith journey with Jesus. And so I'm going to ask him some questions. And at the end of this, we'll just see how well I do. Because now I get to be on the receiving end of this. I think I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, but we'll see how well I do.
Well, we know you're going to do great, Andy. Well, here we go. So, Andy, just starting out, tell me a little bit about your faith journey. Did you grow up in the faith?
I did not. My parents had no real faith to speak. Nobody really did in my family. I was raised really without any kind of faith.
Okay. When did you begin to notice that maybe there was more going on in this life than you were currently experiencing?
When I entered my teenage years, I had more of a sense of who God was from a patriotic sense. I believed that our country was founded on a belief in God. I felt like that was the right thing to do. So therefore, I kind of developed this like very extremely baseline belief that really held no knowledge or any real interest. It was just something I felt like was more of a duty as an American than anything. But that was something.
Yeah. Okay. So God exists, but no connection with him yet.
No relationship. No connection. No real knowledge. No. I wouldn't even say that I knew anything whatsoever about Jesus at the time. I just had this very basic belief that there must be a God.
I feel like that would be like patriotic agnosticism. I feel like that's a new term that we can coin.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love your story. When did you first actually hear the gospel then? So you had this acceptance, like, all right, there's a God, and that's good to know. That's plenty. But then when did you start to first hear the gospel?
Well, I had been poked and prodded a few times along the way in my teenage years and in my 20s, but nothing of any real subsequence. I was really pushing back. I didn't want to really. I just wasn't ready for that kind of a plunge. I wasn't ready to really go through any work. I didn't want to have to do anything yet. I was lazy about it. But I kind of developed this understanding that I probably would someday. Then, of course, you started speaking into my life. I started to have a little more of an understanding. I didn't really bite, I would say, yet.
So I came into your life. Andy and I are, his first wife, Dita, and my wife, Karen, are like childhood friends. They went to school. So he and I met through our mutual, actually, she was your girlfriend at that time.
Yeah, that's right.
It was our girlfriends. And then we became friends. We were hanging out. It was like a play date because they were already friends. But we liked each other, so it worked out nice.
Yeah.
So, but as your friend, when did you realize that I like really, really wanted you to become a Christ follower?
Well, I would say that I was going through some tough times. My first marriage was not doing very well. Financially wasn't doing very well, just wasn't really doing very well as a man. You offered friendship and help. I needed help. I was trying to finish building a house that wasn't really going very well. I was doing a lot of the work myself. I had injured my ankle. You had come and helped me paint, helped me do siding, helped me do all this work. And I, at the time, it's not like we were best buddies. Like, you were just a friend of my wife's friend. I mean, you were the spouse of my wife's friend. And
I was like a friend once removed.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a second,
once removed.
Like a third cousin through marriage kind of thing.
And I it was amazing to have somebody care. Somebody come in and actually give me assistance when you certainly didn't have to, by any means. I wouldn't have thought anything if you never had showed up, but you showed up. And you spoke about Jesus to me.
So you were on to me that I did want you to be
Jesus
follower.
Yeah, I was on you. I was on you at that point. I knew what your end game was. But hanging out with my beer-drinking buddies at the time, Josh would come down to the river and have a beer with us, and we always, comments from my friends at the time was, boy, that Pastor Josh buddy of yours, he's a good dude, and he comes in, he really speaks in a way that is understandable and not, you know, he's not like pushing Jesus on us. And
what's funny is I was not a pastor.
And he wasn't.
I was working at Les Schwab.
You were working at Les Schwab and just, just a friend. So, it was neat to have somebody come in and speak, but in a way that wasn't aggressive. It wasn't, you didn't make me feel like lesser of a person because I wasn't willing to, to follow at that time.
Right on. Very cool. So you remember when you came to Christ Center early on? So he and I had become friends. And when I got ordained, then Andy and Dita came to support me at my ordination. And we had Zion. It was like a skit.
It actually wasn't Dita.
Oh, was it Jen?
No,
oh,
it
I'm
wasn't
so sorry,
Jen, either.
Jen. Oh, it wasn't Jen. This is getting bad. Are we going to be friends after this?
Yeah. You might have to smooth it over.
I might have to. Jen, I'm sorry. Dita, if you're watching, I'm also sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. This is going to segue well into what did I do wrong. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So at any rate, you came. Somebody was with you. Probably the Holy Spirit, as far as I can tell. And we did Zion. For those of you that don't know, Zion is a skit set to music that depicts the like creation and then the fall of man and then Jesus' sacrifice to rescue us from the enemy. And so it's a real cool like presentation of the gospel. And so you came and you saw that and I remember coming up and being like, hey dude, you want to do this thing? And you were like, no, not right now.
No.
So tell me what was going on in your heart and mind at that time?
I wasn't ready. I was still battling in my heart. I wasn't ready to surrender, and I knew that it was going to cost me something, and I wasn't ready yet to. I just wanted my own freedom. I was hanging on desperately to what I thought at the time was my own personal freedom. It was the ability to do what I want and not have judgment, what I felt like would be the judgment of my faith coming down on me for doing whatever it is that I wanted to do. I just simply wasn't ready. But I did know that I think at that time I really truly did believe, yes, I'm going to do this someday. It's just not ready yet.
I love that. You were like planning out your surrender. Like not now.
Not now.
Right. And not on my deathbed necessarily, but somewhere in between.
Yes, yes.
This is so Andy, by the way. This is awesome. I love it.
Calculated.
Yeah. So good. It's so good. You know, when we practiced this, then I was going to ask you what I did right and something I did wrong. And after doing so wrong right here in front of everyone, what is something I did right? Because now I need this.
So, oh, now you need something that
now
you did
I
right.
Now I need this. This is for me. This is for all of us, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, show these people how to comfort and encourage someone when they're really screwing up.
You spoke to me about Jesus in a way that nobody else has ever been able to really do. It was so encouraging. It was so loving. It was so caring that I just knew all along that you were going to play a huge part in me coming to faith. I knew that probably when we were still in our 20s. It just had to do with your loving kindness.
Okay, and approach. So you felt like I was genuine.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now,
let's hear the wrong one. Let's get to that. Now that I'm feeling strong, I'm ready for this.
Did I build you
up
enough?
I did. I'm ready for this. So what's something that I did wrong, though? Because we know there's a lot, so don't list it all. Just one.
No, there really wasn't any. It wasn't much. We went through this, and I couldn't think of anything. But then once we got to this part of the story, I realized, okay. Wrong. What you did wrong, I don't know if I'd classify it as wrong.
Don't soften it. Come on now.
No.
Just, I can take this.
So
I'm all built up.
When I came that night,
for my ordination.
For your ordination, I came to honor a friend, your request to come. I was interested, came. You were pushy. He came on to me really strong.
You know what? You said enough. That's fine. You can go. I actually can't take it. No, I'm just kidding. So I was pushy.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, you were excited. You wanted...
You don't have to make it better. I mean, I'd like you to know what I did wrong.
No, I really can understand. You know, if anybody's ever been close to somebody that you cared about that was very close to coming to faith, you get excited. There's a rush. You want, come on, do it. And I was like right there. We had talked about it so much. And
what you're saying is I ruined it.
No, but it was something that at the time I felt was a little overly aggressive. It was aggressive. I backed off. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not willing to do this right now. You kind of really kept pursuing me. And
does this sound like me again? No, you're absolutely right.
I wish that now looking back, I wish I just would have done it. I mean, I was like, could have gotten a jump start on this whole thing, but I didn't. I was not ready to surrender.
I think all joking aside, though, I love that. I love that you're, I don't love that I was too pushy, but I love hearing that because I was excited.
Yeah.
And I remember, too, in that moment, like, I was so excited. I'm like, man, Andy's here. Like, he showed up. That's so cool. And then, you know, we did Zion, and I'm like, man, wouldn't that be so cool if he got saved, like, at my ordination? Because we'd known each other for a long time. And I was, you know, from my perspective, of course, I was like, brother, are you ready? And apparently it came off very differently. Yes. Not even close to that. I'm sure that's not at all how it was. But I love that, man. I love what you're sharing, that I let my excitement and zeal for something that God wants, that you actually already were planning to do, and I certainly wanted, but I was a bull in a china shop in that moment, you know? Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that, you know? I didn't know that till now. I actually thought that was like one of the deeper... you know, pushes forward, but apparently it was back. You know what?
I love your memory of it, of, hey, brother, just super calm.
That was...
A gentle hand on the shoulder.
I actually think we have a VHS tape
that would
of
be...
it. We need to review the tapes. They probably would not support me. I pray, brother, like...
It's time. Come on. Now.
If Christ came today. All right, man. Well, thank you for sharing that. So you did. You are saved now. So what did make you decide to trust Christ and follow him?
Well, it was a few years after that. My single life had really been tumultuous. I was I drank a lot. I was just living a free single life of a 30-year-old man, and I eventually met my lovely and beautiful wife Jen, and and she was pushy too. And I'm like, okay.
So Jen gets to do it, but not, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, yes. But
good answer.
Yeah. But I guess there was a part of me that just was thinking, gosh, okay, so if all these people that clearly care about me want this so bad for me, then I should really probably start giving it some serious consideration. Jen and I had had a lot of very late night talks about the whys and the hows and just belief in general and why I should surrender. Why should I do? It was like my last stance, you know. I was like putting up my final battle, you know, over time, I really believe that the Lord softened my heart. But I was arrogant. I was a young, arrogant man who really wanted my own personal freedom so desperately, and eventually got to a point where he probably just said, "All right, that's it. Enough's enough," and just zapped my heart. And I would say that over the course of several weeks, months, I don't know, of all that discussion and consideration, I finally got to a point where I was willing to step forward in belief. And that not only took the softening of my heart, but it took a surrender and something that I just thought was I was fighting for my freedom until I found out what freedom really was.
Come on.
Now I know real freedom.
Come on.
The Lord's pursuit of me was patient and kind. Your pursuit of me was patient and kind.
Mostly.
My wife's was not patient nor kind. It was more of an ultimatum at one point. But
we did not rehearse that. That's just the Holy Spirit right there. It's over him. Spirit of wisdom. So when you did decide to follow Christ, you did that in kind of a special way that I certainly was blessed by. So tell these guys about that, because it's a fun part of your story when you decided to make a public declaration of faith.
Yeah, I knew that. I had known this was a calculated thing. I had counted the costs. I got to a point where I'm ready. Let's do this. And I knew that I would do that here. I knew this is 15 years ago. You had become a pastor here. Josh was so important in this journey for me that I knew that I wanted him to be a part of my final surrender. And so came here 15 years ago and sought you out after you saw me in the sermon and we met up after and said the prayer, and the rest is history.
Isn't that fun? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I loved when Andy, you know, had shared and he had said, I kind of knew where this was going. And I knew eventually I was going to follow Jesus. And this was like he had already known that way back when we were first talking in his 20s.
Yeah.
And then here it was all these years later. And I was just so blessed. And I love that part of your testimony is that he's like, and I always knew when I did finally decide to follow Christ, I'd come do it at Christ Center. And at that time, you guys were attending a different church. So he came and he's like, you know, I love you guys and we love you guys, but you're not our cup of tea. But look at you now drinking tea.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it was so cool. But he just came and he said, I just want to honor that you were a part of my journey with Christ. And that just really blessed me. And that you didn't have to do that. But man, I'm just so honored to be a part of that journey of what God has done in your life and is continuing to do. So thank you guys. Thank you for sharing with these guys. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. So, oh man, that's just so fun. That's just so fun. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the thing that I love about, I mean, I love so many things about Andy's testimony, and I'm sure you probably are hearing a lot of your own testimony in that, right? Like, we're not all that different, are we? I think the difference for Andy is he's just so straightforward about it. He's just like, oh, yeah, and I believe in God, and at some point, I'll serve him. But not now. So good. But here's the part that just continued to bless me as I was getting to hear about Andy and God's journey together is to recognize that God was already working in Andy's life. And I think this is really important for each of us. When we think about sharing the good news of the gospel, we have to start with the fact that God is already desperately in love with that person that you're seeking to share good news with. He's already completely involved in their life, absolutely committed, has given his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has died and risen from the dead, and Holy Spirit is actively moving in every way, even through patriotic agnosticism at first, right? I mean, it's like God is in it, and he's already there. And so when you and I are coming to share good news and to obey Christ when he said, as you go, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do all that I've commanded you, he's saying, as you go, I want you to join me with what I'm already doing. And we've got to get that we get to help. We get to help with what God's doing. We're not the ones that are initiating all this. We're not the ones that it's on us. Are you with me? And as you saw, you know, when I brought my really big, important moment to be like, all right, let's seal the deal. And then I pushed him back like another 5 years, it turns out. I don't know that I'm not taking credit for the 5 years part, but I am taking credit for the fact that that was just like, even in my excitement, but that was Joshua's timing. And I remember that, Andy, by the way, being really excited. And I thought, maybe this is that time. And I kind of grappled and I was like, dude, you know, like, he's here for me. Maybe I need to go over and say something. Well, I would dare say, actually, that was Joshua Reeves. That was the spirit of Joshua Reeves, not the spirit of God in that moment, because he wasn't ready. And that's what he told me. I said, do you want to surrender your life to Christ? And he said, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do that. And he was super polite about it, but man, that was 100% right. He wasn't ready. And just even as Andy was sharing, he said, look at how patient and faithful God had been in his life until you were ready. And this is so important when we think about engaging and sharing the gospel of the kingdom. We're sharing the good news of a God who so loves the world that he gave his only son in hopes that people would want to choose him back. He doesn't coerce, he doesn't threaten, he doesn't manipulate, he doesn't do any of those things. And so if we, in our pursuit of wanting to see people that we love live forever, we got to do it the same way he's doing it. Are you with me? So I just want to start there. And I loved, you know, when I was getting to talk with Andy before this, I'm like, man, this just again, just so absolutely like encapsulates that beautiful process that God takes with each of us. And God is so patient, and you are worth it to him. And whoever it is that you're loving, they're worth it to him to take whatever time it takes. We're given about 80 years on average here, and God is willing to give people all the time during this life that he possibly can to hopefully choose him back, because he's already chosen them. Amen? And that's the spirit of that. When we miss that, then we push people. When we miss that, then we do things in weird ways that doesn't look like God. It doesn't feel good. And so here's the great news, guys. Have you ever done that like the wrong way? Just raise your hand. I don't want to be the only one. Yeah, it didn't feel good. And here's the good news. You don't have to do it that way. Like he's not asking you to do it that way. There's a reason why it didn't feel good. It's because you were doing it wrong. Oh, that's nice. Doesn't that feel good? You feel like you just got saved again right now. We're joining Jesus in what he's doing. So that's the spirit. Okay, that's the philosophy behind it. That's how we're seeking to do this, gently, kindly, persistently, faithfully, but certainly not in a coercive, manipulative, or pushy way. All right? You just follow what the Holy Spirit's doing. But I'll give you this caveat. Obey the Holy Spirit. Because there are times when God, just like Andy said, I reached a certain point and I think that Jesus finally touched my heart and said, are you going to surrender to me? And he did actually point to Jen, who was very pushy. But the Lord was in that because Jen was simply like the Lord saying, if you want to continue this way, go that way. But if you want to go with me, I'm going with Christ. But you have to make a decision now. That's where we are. And he made the right decision. Come on. So let's be careful here not to make rules that we now don't obey the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because there are times when the Lord goes, I want you to take this step. Are you with me? I know this sounds like an exception to the rule, but here's the thing with Jesus. Sometimes there's an exception to the rule, but it will be done in love and it will be an exception. Are you with me? All right. I'm like feeling nervous right now. I hate it when I do qualifiers, but that's an important one, so I'm not going to apologize for it. Obey what the Spirit of God is doing. And if you're wrong, you'll know it. And if it was him, you'll know it. Win-win, right? All right, so how do we do this? I love the way that Ed Silvoso has summarized the process that I walked through with Andy. And quite frankly, a lot of you have used the exact same process because we're following the same God. But I like the way that Ed has put it together in prayer evangelism. And many of you are familiar with prayer evangelism. And in fact, if you've never read that book, totally worth your time. Wonderful. But I'm going to borrow from Ed Silvoso here in prayer evangelism. And what Ed points out is essentially there are some aspects of sharing the good news of the gospel that Jesus gave to the disciples originally in Luke 10, verses 5 through 9. And this is how Jesus sent out the 70 to go proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. He said, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Don't go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, how many of you guys know that after they did this, they went out and did exactly that? And they came back and they go, Jesus, even the demons have to submit to our words. They're just casting demons out. They're healing the sick. They're doing all this thing. And Jesus says, as you did what I just told you to do, not only are you casting out demons, but I saw Satan fall from heaven. I saw him fall from the place of authority over that town where you were. And he says, but don't rejoice that demons are listening to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. So as these disciples enacted in doing exactly what the Lord had told them to do in going into a town to share the gospel of the kingdom, they had huge effects. And God said, that's wonderful. In fact, when you're faithful to do this, principalities over cities, Satan, as it were, the adversary over that city, falls from the heavenlies in that place, loses his authority. But don't rejoice over that. Rejoice even more over the fact that someone's life has been made eternal. Rejoice over the fact that you, the greatest miracle of all, is that you're going to live forever, because that's what your Father is after. Are you guys with me? The goal, he says, I want you to rejoice when people come into the kingdom. I want you to rejoice that you've come into the kingdom. I want you to keep the main thing the main thing. So this is what God's after. Why? Because we're already going to die, and he doesn't want that. He wants us to live forever. So there's the motivation. So let's break this down, because they were having great effect going and sharing the gospel of the kingdom. And I think that this scripture gives us a wonderful way to remember how we get to engage with people as we go. Number one, what does he say? Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Peace to this house. What is that? That's a blessing. That wherever you go, with whoever you're working with, you begin to pray blessings over that person. You better believe that I was praying for Andy all the time. All the time. Lord, I just bless Andy. I bless him. I want you to grant him repentance. I want you to bring him into the kingdom. I want him to know you like you are. And I want him to know himself like you know him. I'm asking that you would bless him. This is a key thing for us to bless. There's a couple reasons why it's so important for us to bless. Number one, we need to declare peace Because we as Christians have been at war with the lost. So, number one, we really do need to declare peace over people because they need it. But also, they kind of need it from us. How many of you guys know that unfortunately, we as believers have a tendency to not like sinners? And it becomes very obvious to them. Are you with me? It's like, so our bad attitudes do tremendous disservice to the work of the Lord. How many of you guys know that Jesus was invited to all the parties? He was glad to be known as a friend of sinners. Are you known as a friend of sinners? Or do they know that you don't like them? You guys are ruining my neighborhood. We gotta bless. It changes your heart as you do it. You remember like, oh, right, you came to seek and save that which is lost. And I can't hate them and love them at the same time. I better just love them and bless them. Amen? Number two, if we bless the lost, we'll stop doing another thing, which I just alluded to, and that's cursing them. God, get all these Republicans out of my neighborhood in the name of Jesus. Father, deliver me from the Democrats in the name of Jesus. Father, help them independents, God, in Jesus' name, to stop throwing away their votes. It got a little cold in here. You got to bless or you're going to curse. Are you with me? So we have to be speaking blessings. This is a huge thing. Because here's the thing. You have the power of life and death in your mouth. And if you're releasing blessings over those that are around you, they're going to receive those blessings. But also, you are going to have your heart changed. Are you with me? All right, reason number three. We speak peace and blessing over people as we go to neutralize the demons that have been assigned to blind our coworkers, to blind our neighbors, to blind those that are around us, lest they actually see the kingdom. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual war that's going on for the hearts and minds of people. And God has said, your weapons of warfare are mighty for the tearing down of strongholds. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. You're not in a battle against sinners. You're in a battle against Satan and his demons. And you and I have authority to bless. In fact, it says this, Acts 26:17, I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Don't repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Listen to this. But on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And verse 12 says this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. You and I, we've talked about this again and again. We have authority to bless people. In the places where the enemy has been cursing them, in the places where they're blind, we have authority to say, I bless you in the name of Jesus, that your eyes would be open, that you would know God as he is and know yourself as he knows you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And it goes on. You get this. What's the sword of the Spirit for? To get out there and wave it around and set the captives free. So we bless, okay? We bless. When you go into the house, as it were, then you go to that person, you begin by blessing them. You bless them in your home, but then when you're with them, you bless them under your breath. And then when you're hanging out, you bless them through how the way that you talk to them. Amen? All right, step two, meet them at the river and have whatever they're drinking. Fellowship. He says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. What was happening here? God was saying, when you go to bring the gospel of the kingdom, I want you to have two-way fellowship. You are not coming down from on high. I am here in the name of the Lord. I will not touch your filthy bologna sandwiches, for I have brought the bread of life, and you need it. No, you are here as a humble servant of the Most High God on his behalf to receive. And when you and I receive from those that are around us, we break bread together, we receive the hospitality that's being given. Do you know what you're saying? You are made in the image of God. You are a blessing and you are a peer. You are created to be a blessing. And I honor you and I respect you. And yes, I will receive hospitality and friendship and fellowship with you. because you were made for that, and I recognize you as that. I'm not above you. I am with you. That reminds me of our Savior. What is his name? God with us, Emmanuel. Amen? So we fellowship together. And as we do that, then we have an opportunity for step three. What did he say in Luke 10? He says, go. So you're going to go, you're going to bless, then you're going to receive and be in that home and enjoy the fellowship and the hospitality that's being offered to you, the friendship. If it's in the workplace, eat lunch together, you know, and if they want to buy you lunch, go ahead and let them. Hang out. Be true and real and genuine. Be a peer. Be a help. But as you continue to do that, then the scripture says this, heal the sick. Now, your neighbor might not always be sick, but what we're talking about here is to pray for this person, to meet the felt needs of the person. Like Andy was talking about, he's like, dude, I had a house and I was having troubles. And so you came over and helped with my siding. Like Andy didn't need prayer for sickness in that moment. He needed help with his siding. And so we worked on projects together. We're just meeting a felt need. And during that time, you know, Andy would share things that were going on in his life. And I did offer to pray for those things in those times. But we, as we're with people, what happens is when you're with someone and you actually love them because you actually love them, which, by the way, have you guys ever noticed when you hang out with people and you serve them and they serve you, have you ever noticed you start to like them? It's really hard to serve somebody and not end up loving them. I've tried it. You end up loving them. You try not to, but you end up loving them. But what happens is they begin to trust you because you are being a genuine follower of Christ, and they begin to share their felt needs with you. And at that point, then, we get an opportunity to pray as well as act in acts of service, to pray that God would intervene in their life. I like this. So what happens, though, if I pray and nothing happens? Does anybody ever worry about that? Like, oh boy, okay, I've already got a lot of equity here. And now you're like, my marriage is falling apart. Or, you know, I'm really worried about this upcoming doctor's appointment or something. You're like, ah, geez, what if I pray and nothing happens? Well, God said to pray. He's the one that's responsible for the results. And one of the things that you're going to find very quickly here, first of all, is oftentimes God just answers the prayer. Oftentimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't answer in the way that you think. And in those times, here's what I want you to know. It's not our responsibility to guarantee a result. It's our responsibility to go before the Father on behalf of that person. And I got to tell you, people are blessed when they're going through something and you say, gosh, you know, and at this point, they usually do know you're a believer, right? But you just say, can I just bless you? Can I just bless you in that? That's a lot. Do you mind if I just bless you right now and about that? And they'll be like, I've had so few people tell me no. I've had so few. And they go, yeah, gosh, would you? And then you just pray for them. God, I just pray that you'd bless my friend right now, that you'd be with them. I pray that you would bring a good outcome. And even in the midst of this craziness, that you please bring peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And you'll open your eyes up oftentimes, and they're crying. They're like, thank you. Not Andy. I don't think he cried for me. But others. No, it's very, very intimate to bless someone, to pray for someone. Okay, you're going to have that opportunity. And what's happening is God is moving. So don't allow that fear of the outcome to keep you from praying. And by the way, guys, most times God actually moves very quickly. He's very zealous to prove his heart to that person. Because remember, he's already at work in their lives. And then lastly, you then do get an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, right? He says, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When Jesus was telling the disciples to go out, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. It's like, what is this? For me, I didn't get a miracle. The big miracle is Andy gave his life to Jesus in this example. And thank you, by the way, for opening your life up for us to hear your testimony, your journey, man. I really appreciate it. The way that I got to show that the kingdom of heaven had come near Andy was to just be with him, to be faithful, and then to help serve him actually in that house. Like it was, I remember at a certain point, Andy came to me. He's like, he had said to me, he's like, yeah, man, part of it was that made me get to thinking was I have a lot of really close friends And he's like, and no disrespect to them, but you were the only one that was showing up and helping me in my house. And I was like upside down. Things were really hard right then. And I started thinking, the heck are you doing here? Like, you don't know me like that. Why are you here? And so God let that become a testimony that was a part of that journey. Are you with me? God lets your presence and your prayers become a testimony, and it begins to create a space where people then do begin to have a question. All right, I've been thinking, right? And then you do get an opportunity to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, honor Christ, that the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We get given this honor of getting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the gospel, but I do believe that if we continue to live as Christ has called us to, faithfully, confidently, gently, kindly, doing these very things, blessing people and not cursing, fellowshipping with people and coming into their homes and inviting them into our homes, falling in love with them, getting an opportunity to meet felt needs and pray blessings in the places of their life, you will be given the honor to join Jesus in the work that he's doing in their life, where you get to say, his name is Jesus. Yes, he is the God of one nation under God. That's true. But there's only one way into everlasting life, and his name is Jesus. Are you with me? And this is as simple as it is. But let me tell you something, it takes time. I mean, just as Andy was saying, this was years. And I want you to be encouraged as you're doing this in your life, that each person that God has put you alongside of, they are that valuable. They are that valuable. So don't despair when you don't know what's going on. Don't despair when it's taking a long time. Keep blessing. Keep fellowshipping. Keep meeting felt needs and praying blessings. And continue when you're given opportunity to proclaim the gospel, because God's doing a deep work. Amen? Are you guys encouraged? All right. Why don't you stand and let's pray together. John 3:16 through 18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only son of God. What does that mean? You and I are all going to die, but there is only one person that can give us eternal life. And all that he asks of us is that we would believe he is who he says he is. Now, I don't know where you are on your journey right now. But I know this. God is patiently and benevolently and with great anticipation taking the time to prove himself to you. Are you with me? He doesn't demand that you believe in him without showing himself faithful. And you've heard a testimony of his faithfulness in Andy's life. You've heard testimonies of his faithfulness in my life. We have Jesus Christ who gave his own life. We have a father who held back nothing to show that he loves you and he's willing to do the work to reconcile you back. And I present these as evidence that he's trustworthy. And if you're not yet convinced, he's going to take the time to keep showing you who he is. Because he does not demand that you love him. He requests that you would love him. And he's taking that time. But if today is the day that you want to finally surrender to the Lord, if today is the day where you realize, God, how much more evidence do I need? I've seen you. I've heard you. I've experienced you. You showed up here and here and here, and your own heart knows the story. And if today is that day, then Romans 10 says this. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, if this is the day that you want to surrender, that's a great day. That's a great day. And we want to make an opportunity for you to do that right now. So why don't we just do that today? It says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that he is the Lord, we will be saved. So let's just say that together today. And if that's the first time, boy, I'd sure love it if you'd come up and let me know. Let me know that today's the day you decided to become a follower of Christ. But let's pray this today. Let's confess it with our mouth. Jesus Christ, I confess that you are the Lord. I have sinned, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you are the Savior. Will you save me? Amen. And like I said, if that's the first time that you decided to surrender today, that's a good day. That's a good day. Please come forward and share so we can rejoice with you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and may he give you peace. We have the prayer servant team coming forward if you'd like more prayer as we bless you in your ministry. God bless you guys. Have a great day.